Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Warning, Pastor Scheidbach is not politically correct, and even more shocking, he is a Christian who uses the word God and prays in Jesus' name in public.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. A heartfelt thanks to all World War II vets as we paused this week to remember Pearl Harbor, December 7, 1941. Now, most of us only know what our fathers and grandfathers have told us or what we have read in books or seen in movies, but you lived it. And you survived it. And I, along with many millions of Americans, want you to know we will not forget the sacrifices you laid on the altar of liberty. And know that young men, like my own son, are now carrying the torch of liberty you passed on to them. And by the way, our boy is coming home for Christmas. Lord willing, he'll be landing at Santa Maria Airport sometime between the 10th and the 15th of this month. Hoorah! Okay, folks, are you ready for your brain massage?
Truth. Served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
It's going to be interesting to see which way Iowa goes. But don't make the mistake of thinking Iowa is going to settle anything. And don't get me wrong, I do believe that what develops in Iowa is significant. But this race is so squirrely and changes shape almost weekly. It's not likely that what happens in Iowa is going to be definitive. And really, I mean, remember Huckabee? No? Well, he took Iowa back in 2008, so that should tell you something. Rumors are all over the board, but Bloomberg's poll says Kane is leading with 20%, Paul leading at 19%, followed by Romney at 18% and Newt at 17%. It's a dead heat, folks. So, well, we'll look at these four. Sorry, Bachman, but we're still keeping an eye on you. In any event, first, Kane. He's still in it. And it seems to me likely that if he takes Iowa, he'll resume his campaign, which for the present is suspended, not ended. The mainstream media don't want him in it at all. You witnessed a low-down, modern-day lynching of Kane and the MSM. The only question is whether or not he prepared the rope they used to hang him. But you and I know that Clinton did far worse and got a pass from the MSM because Clinton was one of theirs and Kane is not. Simple as that. I should say as sick as that. Yeah, it's like Corzine. Hopefully, I'll get a chance to take a shot at the MF Global ripoff job pulled on our farmers. Hey, by the way, did any of our farmers get hit by that ripoff? Corzine's MF Global literally stole money from farmers. I mean, what was it? $1.2 billion just disappeared from their accounts? And no one knows where it went? Huh? But because Corzine is one of theirs, a fellow Marxist, a party boss, a lover of unions and supporter of the legal murder of unborn babies, well, he'll get nothing but sympathy from the MSM. It's sick, my friends. The so-called fourth rail of government, the media, is sick in its soul. The perversity evident and their obvious bias against anything and anyone conservative is a clear testament to the total loss of objectivity in reporting by the mainstream media, so-called, mostly stupid media, or Marxist socialist media, as I like to call it, and it seems everyone knows it except them. Hey, MSM! You're a joke already. Wake up. Get the punchline. Anyway. But Kane, you know, he's not a Marxist, so he's judged by an entirely different set of rules. Well, I've said I don't know what to make of Kane's pain, but apparently he's still making a strong showing in Iowa. What do you make of that? Some of those Romney, Newton, Perry supporters consider Kane's 999 plan to be a tax and spin strategy, and they wonder about those who support it. Romney, Newt, and Perry all support the current quagmire of red tape, the tangled snarl, bewildering, befuddling, convoluted, labyrinthine, complicated, now how about multiplexicated? They like the maze of deductions and dodges with the thousands of shadowy corners to hide this or that. It's just nuts, friends. Now, I'll tell you why Kane's proposal appeals to so many conservatives. It's because it's simple. It wipes out the rat's nest that has been contrived over the last, 100 years of this, and streamlines the whole mess. I'm telling you, what Americans will save in tax preparation fees and what companies would save would probably more than offset any increase in the actual number of dollars netted by the IRS. not to mention the grand sigh of relief that would rise up to heaven from the American taxpayer to get out from under that nonsense. I think most of us agree that Kane would be business friendly, and being business friendly means jobs and economic growth. Most of us view Kane as someone who would unleash the economic engine of American oil and coal and make us seriously competitive in the world markets on energy once again. I think most of us see Kane as someone who would stand up to the EPA and who would not succumb to pressure to bail out Wall Street, that he would be willing to inspire Americans to wean themselves off of welfare, both personally and corporately. Now, these are the things that many perceive in Kane, and that's what makes him appealing. However, I've offered concern about his preparedness to handle foreign policy. And I said with regard to that issue, every president has to go through OJT, on-the-job training, and that it seemed to me at that time, Kane had the right stuff, the right basic ingredients of character and intelligence, and that I was willing to trust his instincts would serve him well in foreign policy. But then the scandals broke, and questions began to surface about his character and his judgment. And these things do concern me. I've been around a while, and I know that such indiscretions plague human nature. I know that such lapses have been a part of the stories of many of our political leaders, and religious leaders for that matter, and leaders in general. And I'm aware that liberals give their own a pass on such behavior while they hammer conservatives who lapse in this area. I also understand how they justify themselves in doing this. They say that conservatives are hypocrites. Why? Because they pretend to be so uppity about these issues, but have problems in the same areas in which they condemn others. Now, you know, that opens another can of worms, but since we're fishing for bass, I want to address that just for a moment. Friend, it's not hypocrisy to condemn evil, even if one has succumbed to it, to its temptations. It is certainly hypocritical to excuse in yourself what you condemn in others. Oh yeah. But it is not hypocritical to condemn evil in yourself and in others. Of course, the liberals are hypocrites on this point. Because think about it. Not only is it hypocrisy to excuse in yourself what you condemn in others, it is likewise hypocrisy to condemn in others what you excuse in yourself. I mean, it's a simple matter of political expediency. I know. In other words, you liberals pounce on conservatives who have lapses in their moral character because it serves your political purpose to do so. And frankly, that makes it even more pernicious. They excuse infidelity among their own and support those who fall and even excuse it and or give justify it, and then condemn viciously a conservative who falls and offer him no sympathy whatsoever. Now, I don't know if Kane is guilty of the allegations laid at his feet. If he gave that woman some money without his wife's knowledge, well, that sounds like something's amiss. There's some smoke there for sure, and where there's smoke, there's, you know, fire. Do I believe that he is disqualified to hold the office of president because some woman or women, has or have made accusations against his faithfulness to his wife? Well, actually, no. In fact, I don't think that disqualifies someone from holding the office of president. Now, I do know that not being a natural-born citizen does. Uh-huh. However, and yet no one seems to care about that. America's sheriff is going to publish his preliminary findings or the preliminary results of his investigation into President alleged Obama's constitutional qualification for holding the office of president, and he'll release his findings in February. Trump is making new sounds, new noises about the president's secret private life. You liberals make me crazy. Stop even admit there's something weird here. And this man's absolute unwillingness to just, you know, open up the doors, the windows of his life and let us take a look at this man that wants to be our president. Anyway, nothing in the Constitution requires a president to be a moral man. Can someone have immorality in their background, confess and forsake that as sin, and then go on to live an honorable life consistent with his or her convictions? Well, of course, that's what the gospel is all about. Now, I'll take someone who confesses his errors and has a testimony of having forsaken them over someone who continues to excuse his errors or who denies that his sexual immorality is in fact immoral. I mean, I'll take a guy who confesses and forsakes his errors over someone who pretends he doesn't have a clear understanding of the definition of the word is. That's deceitfulness at a level that's just very disturbing. Now, in Kane's case, we're not even clear whether he actually had a 13-year affair with this woman. A 13-year affair is not something very easily covered up and hidden. You know, others had to know about it. Friends and family of the alleged affairee, as well as close associates of the affair-o. There would certainly be more than, you know, he gave me some money once out there. Don't you think? But anyway, we'll see. Of course, this takes us to Newt. Now, Newt was a Southern Baptist, you know, who converted to Catholicism because, well, he wanted to marry a Catholic. who apparently had stronger convictions about her Catholicism than he did about his evangelical beliefs. Go figure. This must be added to the fact that he has had 3 confessed affairs and that he divorced his wife while she was suffering with cancer. At least that's what I understand. Now look, this sort of thing goes deep into questions about the relationship that we will not likely ever know. I mean, she might have been the Wicked Witch of the East for all we know. I don't know. On the other hand, he might have been nothing but a foul-hearted scoundrel. And his behavior betrays an unfaithfulness that would make him unsuitable to sit at the table of any decent man or family. Now, does it disqualify him from holding the office of president? Technically, no, not according to the Constitution. That is a matter for the voter to decide. As far as this voter is concerned, well, it does present a problem. I think it creates problems in society in general when vile men are exalted to high office. I know that's one of those traditional values beliefs that our public schools teach our kids to scorn and spurn and despise. I read one silly-headed kid go on and on, waxing ignorant on tradition, you know, saying, in effect, hey, think about what you're saying when you support tradition, you know, like the tradition of slavery, or the tradition of wife beating with impunity, or the tradition of women not voting, or the tradition, and she goes on and on with that ignorant nonsense. Oh, God help our kids. You've got to be kidding me. Why don't our schools teach our kids to think clearly, critically, and reasonably? Don't you know that slavery was never a tradition? It was a practice that was opposed by many of my tradition, by the way, from the very beginning, and clearly stipulated as evil in the Bible. Oh, yeah. Have you never read the law? Exodus 21:16. Oh, Bible thump alert! Bible thump alert! Quote, "And he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death." Oh, yeah. And remember the prohibition against making merchandise of men? Ever read that one? "Quote, if a man be found stealing any of his brethren or of the children of Israel, and maketh merchandise of him, or selleth him, then that thief shall die, and thou shalt put evil away from among you," end quote, Deuteronomy 24:7. Yeah. Right. So that's only applicable to making merchandise of your own people. Well, what about the verse in Exodus? That's just about how I'd expect unbelief to read it. Did you ever read Exodus 12:49? Quote, "One law shall be to him that is homeborn and unto the stranger that sojourneth among you," end quote. Or in other words, if it's good for the gander, it's good for the goose. Or in other words, the law that applies to the children of Israel applies to the strangers among them. So don't confuse traditional values with past abuses of human rights and values, or abuses of human rights. It has never been a traditional conservative value. That's a stinking lie your teachers are feeding you in those Antichrist indoctrination camps called public schools. Good night. Anyway, Newt's treachery against the wife of his youth does not disqualify him to be president. And does not necessarily make him unfit to hold the office or to execute the office in an intelligent, reasonable, and effective way. But when we exalt such vile men to high office, we encourage the wicked to further erode the walls of morality that protect our society, our kids, from the ravages of evil. Besides, I have another problem with Newt. I mean, does life begin at conception or not? Make up your mind. Will he seriously address the illegal alien issue? Or is he playing games with us? Can we trust him? I've often said Newt should be on the team of anyone serving as president, but frankly, I have qualms about him holding that office. As for Romney, oh man, he has all the appearances, but none of the substance of principled conservative leadership. The man's a rhino. Should just admit that. It might be, look, like a chameleon, he blends in with whatever crowd he thinks he needs to go forward in his bid for political advancement. I'm convinced Romney is pro-Obamacare at his heart, and I'm convinced he supports the homosexual agenda at his heart, and would go with redefining marriage and compelling Americans to accept homosexuality as a norm if he thought he can get away with it and get the GOP nomination. Connie Schultz, a liberal who writes for the National Review, actually hit the nail square on the head when she said Romney has, quote, "changed everything but his gender to appease his new friends on the right," end quote. Huh. If you want to get a taste of what we're in for, if the GOP gives in and accepts Romney, well, get a load of this and remember, it's the truth in such jokes that make them funny. This lady writes, Connie writes, quote, "And what does Romney get for all his Gumby with great hair flexibility? Seriously upstaged by a pontificating Pooh Bear named Newt, who is leading in every poll that includes the word Romney," end quote. Yeah, well, you know, what do you think? You're going to get a belly full of that stuff. And, quote, this is, of course, they're going to do that to anybody. I know that. But it's the truth in these statements that is disturbing. And she goes on to say, this is what happens when your values are more elastic than the waistband in a pair of Hagar, I don't wear these, but work to weekend pants. Nobody who has to squirm into that stretch looks good in it. Well, enough of that. But and I get it. I know we're going to get that kind of bile from the left, no matter who is our candidate. But the problem is when there's truth in it, it's okay. I need to take a short break. It'll have to be a short one. I have gone long in this segment. I'll be right back.
Be advised, for Pastor Scheidbach, exposing liberal lies and destroying vain philosophies of God-hating, America-despising liberals is like taking candy from a baby. All liberals are hereby cautioned. Pastor Scheidbach is about to rip one or more of your favorite lollipop notions right out of your hand. Uh-oh, too late. A liberal just lost a lollipop. Your brain massage will continue in a moment.
Folks, I want to thank all of you who have been so thoughtful to send in gifts to help us with broadcasting costs. Thank you. I appreciate that tangible token of your support for the brain massage and the proof of your commitment to our cause. Don't ever think your contributions, no matter how small, are not important to us. They certainly are important to us. They are needed, and they are deeply appreciated. Thank you. I have written melodies for several of the Psalms, and I'm gratified that so many have enjoyed singing them. We've produced a CD titled Singing Psalms. $10 covers the cost of the CD and includes a $3 donation to our ministry. Call 1-888-770-8000 to order yours today. Or go to www.santamarialighthouse.org and click on the bookstore button. Folks, I want to thank all of you who have been so thoughtful to send in gifts to help us with broadcasting costs. Thank you. I appreciate that tangible token of your support for the brain massage and the proof of your commitment to our cause. Don't ever think your contributions, no matter how small, are not important to us. They certainly are important to us. They are needed, and they are deeply appreciated. Thank you. I have written melodies for several of the Psalms, and I'm gratified that so many have enjoyed singing them. We've produced a CD titled Singing Psalms. $10 covers the cost of the CD and includes a $3 donation to our ministry. Call 1-888-770-8000 to order yours today. Or go to www.santamarialighthouse.org and click on the bookstore button.
Help us slay the dragons of deceit with the sword of the spirit. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California 93457. If you want to help us expand the reach of this broadcast, go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and click on the donate button, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California 93457. Stand by. Five, the Brain four, Massage Show three, is about to blow your
mind. Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, Brain Masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Well, you know that the MF Global collapsed. You've heard about that. Corzine slipped through the questions put to him by the House Agriculture Committee like Houdini from a straitjacket. He was more slippery than Clinton ever dreamed of being. Good night. What a fantastic liar. $1.2 billion is missing. Missing. Friends, we don't even know where it went. It's just missing. It's gone from customers' accounts. And those customers are mostly farmers. You know, part of that 99%? Yeah. $1.2 billion missing. And all we know is that somewhere along the way, it was decided to invest money into Europe's sovereign debt. Think Greece, baby. And Soros, by the way, and the number of people who were apprised of this decision would fill a phone book for a small city. Oh, that's covering yourself, isn't it? But where the $1.2 billion went, no one knows. Liberal, beloved Corzine read a prepared statement to address the missing $1.2 billion of customers' money. He wanted to dismiss that right away, and so he read this prepared statement, quote, "I simply do not know where the money is, or why the accounts have not been reconciled to date," end quote. How long has this money been missing? $1.2 billion doesn't come up missing overnight, does it? I mean, it doesn't come up missing in one reporting cycle. They do quarterly reports, don't they, or monthlies? I mean, did they have a reconciled statement 1 month or even a quarter, and then the next quarter? Well, looky here, $1.2 billion is missing. Shazam! Now think about it. This is a multi-billion dollar company run by a guy who ran Goldman Sachs. Ooh. Maybe that's about all we need to know. A scammer. In better days, it would have been covered by another taxpayer bailout, right? Well, for the president at least, that would be political suicide, wouldn't it? But if Corzine can hang on long enough, perhaps his buddy Obama will finagle another 4 years out of us, and perhaps us taxpayers will get another opportunity to help out a liberal favorite. You know, a general in the Marxist cause. Mr. Corzine. Hey, Occupy crowd, occupy this. Mr. Corzine sat at the helm of MF Global Incorporated, misplaced $1.2 billion of a whole bunch of 99%ers, huh? Well, when the taxpayer can't be counted on, you can bet Soros will come in to help out a fellow Marxist. Yeah, Soros bought MF Global's debt at a huge discount, of course. I mean, this is right on time for Christmas, right? Mr. Potter Soros bailing out the banks at 50 cents on the dollar. I wonder how much of this money was actually used to make surety against Soros' efforts to shore up European debt with U.S. dollars. I wonder. You think we'll ever get to the bottom of this newest sewer that's opened up, this latest sinkhole to hell? I smell sulfur in this sewage, my friend. So, yeah, the smell of hell is all over this. Quote, I simply do not know where, and I'll interject, $1.2 billion is. End quote. Yeah. Right, complete with a shrug and a look of utter bewilderment. Tell that to the farmers who sunk thousands of hard-earned dollars, thousands of important operating funds into the clutches of MF Global. Now this guy says, I simply don't know where the money is. I'll keep an eye on this one. Don't expect to hear much from the MSM on it, though. They won't give it much notice. Why? Because Corzine's one of their favorite sons. Okay, what else do we have here? Yeah. Macy's has fired an employee who had the good sense to bar a cross-dresser from occupying the ladies' dressing rooms. Yeah, a male cross-dresser wanted to occupy the ladies' dressing room in Macy's. So what does Macy's do to this clear-headed, quick-thinking individual? Well, they fired her, of course. Oh, yeah, that's right. Macy's fired this clerk because she would not allow a cross-dressing man to use the ladies' dressing room. You gotta be kidding me. Where's all this going, my friends? Where's this gonna stop? Look, yeah. You want to live in a society that allows perverted, twisted, confused men to use the dressing rooms where your wife might be trying on some clothes? Well, that's your business. But by God in heaven, it's my business when you force that on me and my family. I'm tired of this nonsense. You take your stinking, hellish immorality out of my face. I'm sick of you perverts pushing your twisted values on me. Yeah, you enjoy that? Yeah, you want to get all self-righteous about me pushing my morality on you? Well, what about you pushing your immorality on the rest of us? You lousy hypocrites. Hey, I have no intention to live in a society that requires my wife to share a changing room with a pervert who can't figure out what gender he is. You see, my friends, what I'm trying to illustrate here is something I've been trying to bring to the attention of my audience for quite a long time. And it's not to say my audience has missed my point or strained to get it. No, I think you got it clearly. But let's rehash something that is fundamental, something that is basic about any society. Listen. Someone's values, someone's traditions, someone's core beliefs will prevail and shape public morality, and thereby and therefore will necessarily be imposed on the general public. That's just the way it is. It's like the law of nature, my friend. Nature's God. I mean, it's like gravity. And the fundamental fact of the matter is this. Behavior will always be designated into one of two general categories, into the category of just or right, and into the other category, wicked or unright or unrighteous. Did you hear me? Listen, human conduct will always be classified as either good or bad, just or wicked. And furthermore, it will always be the case that those whose behavior is classified as wicked are going to feel the imposition of the values and standards of those whose behavior is categorized as just. It's always going to be that way. I mean, again, it's like the law of gravity. Some set of values are going to prevail and form the basis of laws of conduct in any society. You got that? Okay, look, here's something I've been saying for years. The values and beliefs of God-fearing patriots, following as best they can the tenets of the Bible, have so far prevailed in our society and has formed the basis of acceptable rules of conduct. These values are identified in the Bible as just because they are the values communicated to us by our Creator, who is the ultimate authority and has the power and right to make the rules. Now, those who oppose these values and reject the authority of Christ as the ruler of heaven and earth are identified in the category of wicked. Okay, now you got that? Now, the wicked have felt imposed upon by us. Now, have they not? And they resent the imposition of our morality, and they rail and rage against it. And they cry against what they regard as the tyranny of those so-called Christian Puritans, and, you know, language like that. So what's happening? Well, they've succeeded at demonizing our moral standards and have categorized them as wicked, and they have called their values just. So now Judeo-Christian values and morals are scorned as prudish and oppressive, an effort to push morality on others, right? So now their system of moral values is taking the place of ours, and now they are pushing their immorality on the rest of us, are they not? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Someone's idea of morality is going to prevail in any society, and someone in that society is going to feel imposed upon by the others. And what you need to decide is who will be the just and who will be the wicked. You see, it's the law of nature, of nature's God, that, quote, an unjust man is an abomination to the just, and he that is upright in the way is abomination to the wicked, end quote. That's just the way it is. Don't you see what's happening? The homosexual activist has succeeded at convincing many of our neighbors that it's evil for us to impose upon them our ideas of morality. Oh, really? And many of our neighbors are buying into that nonsense. So what's happening? Well, now they're imposing their immorality on the rest of us. Listen, Christian, you're going to live in a society that, generally speaking, defines proper values and rules of conduct based on the morality defined by the Bible and our Creator, or you're going to live in a society where the rules of conduct are defined by people who don't even know what gender they are. We are headed for a major collision in this country. The wicked and the unjust will never coexist. They are an abomination to one another. A cross-dressing man using the same dressing booth that my wife uses is an abomination to me, and I'm not going to tolerate it. The homosexual activist is simply not going to tolerate living in a culture that condemns their behavior as perverted, and they are never going to be satisfied with simply being left alone. I've told you this 1,000 times. Pay attention. You'll see. I'm telling you, I got the light on this, friends. You need to pay attention. I'm telling you, that is contrary to the nature of the enmity that exists naturally and by divine decree between the wicked and the just. If we don't come together under the rule of Christ and accept the definitions of morality given to us in the Christian religion, we are going to have to come under the rule of laws defined by those, again, who are confused about things as basic as their gender identity. It's going to be a mess. We're going to have a total collapse of law and order in the society. We're going to embrace chaos, and you're going to have a mess. And I know many of you refuse to accept this, but you just remember what I said. When the wicked rise up and finally destroy the last vestiges of Christian morality in this country, and you find your liberties gone. Our founders warned us over and over that the maintenance of our liberties would be totally determined by the maintenance of our morality as a Christian nation. I've lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. Now you let me know if you see that they are on. If you see the lights are on, then you call in 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000, and you say, lights on. If you disagree with what I'm saying, you can call and say, lights off. The number to call is 1-888-770-8000, or write me an email. Go to thebrainmassageshow.com, click on the Contact Us button, and write me an email. That's thebrainmassageshow.com, or call 1-888-770-8000. God bless you. God save America. I'll see you in church.
For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturdays at 7:30 a.m. and go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com. The Brain Masseur is preparing to massage your brain with stimulating insights.